on this week's episode, we are recapping the 29th annual Hermansky Podlack Syndrome Conference.
We'll be sharing highlights and even talking about our time in New York beforehand.
So stick around.
Hi, and welcome to Rare with Flair,
the podcast where two best friends with the same rare disease are living our best lives. I'm your host, Casey.
And I'm your host, Cassandra. I just got back from seeing you, and I'm sad.
It was lovely. And I feel like typically in our little, you know, intro moment here, we go over what's been happening lately, but we were just together, and that's kind of what this whole episode is going to be about.
Very true.
So maybe there's not as much to discuss, but we're so excited to talk about the HPS conference. Is this our third time doing this episode?
I want to say yes, because I don't think we did it in 22 when the con got canceled, but we did back in 2021. We had a virtual conference that year because COVID, but we also took that time to really like break down the conference. So we'll probably make reference to that one a lot. And if you haven't heard it, or if you don't know about the Hermansky-Pudlak Syndrome Conference, I definitely encourage you to go listen to that one, because it really does go through it in detail, since we were definitely missing the con. So we gave it a lot of good feelies and also explanation. So
right, we won't be explaining as much in this episode. All you got to know is we both have a rare disease called Hermansky-Pudlak syndrome. We have a conference every year in Long Island, and that's what we're going to talk about, and that's pretty much all you got to know. But if you really want the basic outline of how the conference runs, that definitely is a good episode to go back.
You can probably get it with context, to be fair, but
yeah, for sure, we're not going to be too cryptic here.
Also, the disclaimer, as usual, so the Hermansky-Pudlak Syndrome Network, the HPS Network, is the organization that puts this on, and we are not, here to represent the HPS Network. We're just representing ourselves and our experiences.
Right.
So we don't speak for them, but
yes,
they do a great job.
And the network is a supporter of our pod, and we're so grateful for that support. But yeah, we're not necessarily, the podcast is not necessarily affiliated with the network. So our thoughts are our own.
That's right.
So that's our little disclaimer. But anything else before we get started that you had to share?
I think both of us are also just coming down from the con, and oh, you know what, actually I did want to talk about something. So I'm also just, I think we're both a little tired and maybe a little out of it, so please forgive us, but I did want to talk about something on the pod. And oh my gosh, so I saw the eclipse, and I wanted to talk about that, because there were a few cool and notable things that were really exciting. So if you didn't know, because you either don't live in the U.S. or you just weren't aware, weren't in the path of totality, there was a total solar eclipse that went over a really big part of the United States, including Ohio, which, as a reminder, is where I live. We had come back from the conference on the day that the eclipse was happening. I was with both of my parents, and there was going to be a pretty decent view at my childhood home, and where I grew up in southwestern Ohio. And it was really just wild. So my mom was super anxious about it. She really, really wanted to make it back, because they were saying that traffic was supposed to be horrible, because this is a really incredible celestial phenomenon, and so people travel to come see it. So she wasn't unjustified in her fear. I'm really grateful. The traffic was honestly awesome going in.
Good.
We flew early, and then it was more later that evening, as people were leaving, we happened to drive around, and then we saw the backed up traffic on that freeway, and we were okay. Yeah, that's what they were talking about. But so, couple notable things. In an eclipse, I knew a little bit about eclipses before, because I read this book, this fiction book, when I was in fifth grade, that got me kind of interested in them. So it was really cool to get to actually witness one. But so, like, there, but before the actual, like, total part of the eclipse happens, where you see the sun, or you see the moon cover everything but the corona of the sun, it's like, it's a partial eclipse for a while. So you have your special eclipse glasses on and you can kind of stare at the sun. You can't see pretty much anything else except the sun. Mm-hmm. We kind of start getting the idea that it's getting covered slightly. But as you're getting closer to that period where there's going to be totality, like, it starts to get darker. Like, it didn't get fully nighttime dark. And it's really gorgeous because the horizon still has some light on it. So it looks like the sky is, like, twinkling. But you start getting more of this, like, twilight light. And I think the thing that really shocked me the most that I didn't really expect was that, but it was still, like, the sun was still shining. A big portion of it had already gotten covered. It was a really interesting look around us because the light changed the hues of everything. Some people were saying it looked kind of sepia-toned or orange. Mm-hmm. I kind of just thought it looked like, I don't know, one of those, like, my mom was saying it looked like one of those, like, 70s sci-fi films where everything is kind of bathed in a darker light. I thought it just looked like the world had sunglasses on. But I was sitting in the sun with my eyes completely wide open, which has never once happened in my entire life.
That is so cool.
And it will probably never happen again.
Yeah.
Sorry, what did you say?
It should have been an albinism national holiday.
It really should have. I said to my parents, I'm like, I don't know why it isn't like this all the time.
All the time. Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be so nice.
Oh my gosh.
The other cool accessibility related thing about the eclipse, and then I'll stop talking because I feel like this is going on for a while. But so the American Council for the Blind had posted, I honestly wish they had promoted it more. I happened to see it as I was scrolling earlier in the day. And it was really well timed because they had this, they do like a radio program, but they also had it available on Zoom Link where they were going to have somewhat of an accessible eclipse experience. I'll link, so there's, it's recorded in a podcast episode, so you can go and listen to it if you want to. And they explain the science much better than I'm about to very quickly right now. But, like, the astronomy department at Harvard created these special devices called light sound devices where it'll, like, read in the light and then emit a tone. And so as the light is changing because, like, the moon is covering up more of the sun, it changes the pitch. So it kind of starts with, like, full sun, it sounds more like a little flutey sound, and then as it gets more covered up, it switches to more of a lower clarinet sound, and it gets pretty low in the notes that it'll play. Once they finally reach totality, you hear this, like, they wanted to do kind of the opposite of light in sound, so the opposite of sound, which was noise, I guess. So it's just kind of like a clicking sound. But as it gets, like, really dark, and they would broadcast it from different, like, in the Zoom call that I was on, they would broadcast it from different locations. So we would hear, like, you know, somewhere in Arkansas, someone was, like, watching the eclipse a little bit ahead of us. And you would hear, like, the clicking that started faster, and then it would slow down as it got darker and darker, and it would just be almost silent. And it was so exciting to even hear it, even if it wasn't happening to us, because it was still light out. And, like, I feel like having that, even though it isn't the same as getting to watch an eclipse, but the anticipation of, like, hearing that, like, clicking stop, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It happened. Really cool. It really, like, enhanced the experience.
Yeah. That's so cool. I'm so glad they have that technology available. Right?
Yeah. So this is, like, a fun, cool accessibility thing that made it more, and like my parents were like, that was really cool. Like, I'm glad that we were listening to that too.
That's really awesome. I saw some things on a few other people I know had talked about it on Facebook and stuff. So I'm glad it seemed like it got some traction, I think.
That's awesome.
So that's awesome. Very nice.
Anyway, what about you?
Well, no, I really, no, I loved that. I think it's important. Whenever like a big event happens, it's cool to talk about how it felt from a low vision perspective. And mm-hmm. I love your perspective about the photophobia, especially like the world had sunglasses on. I think that's so cool. I really don't have any life updates. I mean, like we said, we just got back in town, so there hasn't been a lot of time for things to happen, but I am ready to, we can go ahead and hop in because I really don't have much to share.
Awesome.
And I'm excited. I'm excited to talk about the conference.
You want to kick us off?
Sure. So Cass and I, so the conference is in Long Island, New York, like we said, but you know, I love Manhattan, New York. Mm. Who doesn't? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people that don't actually, but in the past, I've gone with my mom like a day early just to be able to hang out in the city a bit. And this year, Cass and her family, your whole family came to the conference.
Yes.
Which is so exciting.
It was awesome. Both of my parents and my brother and my sister-in-law, who had never been to an HPS conference. We'll talk about that a little bit, too. She loved it. Spoiler.
That's so awesome. And, like, so her family was coming early, too. And so we kind of, like, I met up with them and we had such a good day in the city. We did so much. We covered a lot of ground. We did Chelsea Market and the High Line and multiple bakeries and a bookstore. Oh, yeah. And then we saw a Broadway show, Kimberly Akimbo. It was really so good. And then we got Smackery's cookies, which I love. I mean, I know I just did a very, very
super
like,
quick
brief overview. But any highlights for you from that day? I mean, it was just really fun to be with you in a kind of non-conference-y setting, just because we rarely have that. And it was really fun to see your family. I loved just getting to walk next to you with our canes in the city. And,
oh, I know.
You know. But yeah, I just like, it's just so fun to be with you, you know? I just have fun when we're together, no matter what we're doing. Yeah.
And like, at one point, it was really funny. So like, Case and I, like, we would just like get sidetracked and talk about all kinds of random stuff as we were walking. And my dad was like, we got on this thing where she and I were like, picking apart like TV series, like intro themes, because sometimes they're like super on the nose and tell you exactly what's going to happen in the show. And sometimes they're not like that at all. And so we were just, I don't know, singing TV show themes. And my dad was like, I feel like walking with you guys is always like a song coming on.
And the funny thing, I loved that moment too. And the funny thing about it is like when we were having that conversation, I felt like it was just like a totally normal thing. We were just like singing theme songs. And then until somebody else like calls it out of like, y'all are cracking me up, y'all are singing. And like, wow, we really are like a little bit obnoxious together.
Like a little walking it's like, show.
It's like the pod live, but on steroids. Like it's just great. a lot to handle, but it was so fun.
So fun. And like, we had some, like, so my dad is watching Avatar The Last Airbender, which we talked about watching in our Buddy Watch cartoon episode. We both also had separately watched it and loved it. And so my dad, I think with the live action remake that came out, I was like, no, just watch the animated one. And he is really enjoying it. And so, like, he hasn't finished it. And we were kind of even I think my brother and sister-in-law kind of got in on it at one point. We were kind of having a larger group discussion about, like, Atla and, like, deeply diving into the characters as we were, like, walking along the High Line.
I think I spent the, like, entire High Line talking to your dad about Atla. And it was so funny because the conversation was getting so deep that, like, passers-by, like, I felt we were like, but it's not about that. It's about his honor for
it's
his
about
father.
His dad. You know, and
we were like, abuse.
So it was deep. And people were like, oh, gosh. Like,
We were getting so passionate about what we were saying, and it was just so, it was so great. I loved talking to your dad about Atla.
That was fun.
And I love that he loves it and that we could actually have like a good conversation about it, because that's like what I live for, is like,
I know, right? That kind and of it's like what we do all the time.
I love it. I know, I love it so much. Yeah, it was just like was such great. A good time.
I love being in a bookstore with you because you know all of the books and like will give your honest opinion about all of them, because you some of them where you're like, oh man, I really love this one. It was so good. The plot development was awesome. And then like you're some of them and you're like, man, that book was not for me. Like, I did not like that.
It's like I have a BookTube channel again, but you're my only audience member.
Yeah, so I'm like annoyingly, I feel so honored.
Like, this one was 5 stars. This one wasn't. And then we went to like the cookbook table at the bookstore, and Cassandra knew every single book. She was like, oh, I have this book. Oh, I know this person. Oh, I follow them on Instagram. Oh, I know. I was blown away because I don't know anything about that world.
That's
and
like
I actually
one
was
thing that I've got.
I was impressed. So we were like teaching each other. It was kind of cute because I was like showing her like this release and that, and then you were showing me your stuff, and
it was a good time.
It was a really, really good time, and we like exchanged some gifts the first night too. And, we just like had a really fun time.
It was so good, and also getting to see your mom, who came to the show with us. It was really like I love Gay. I love her so much. She's such a treasure. So,
and I love your family. So it's all like, you know, we don't only love each other. We love each other's families. Like it's like an extended family, because our HPS family feels like a family. And so like I totally love your family also, and it was so good to spend time with them.
Yeah, it's so fun. And let me see. I'm trying to think. You took off pretty early to go to Long Island on Friday, and then I, so Wednesday, we both got in on, like, all of us and our families got in on Wednesday. My mom and I had a little escapade to this, like, speakeasy type bar place on Wednesday night. It was not very far from where we were staying in Midtown. It was really cool. It was just, like, a really, it had almost, like, Dark Academia spooky vibes a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was really, really cool, but it was also kind of empty because it was a Wednesday night. So we were just like yapping and having a nice little time, and it was super cozy. So loved that.
It looked awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. But I don't think,
Yeah, it was a good time. And then Friday was the first day of the conference. So the conference is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Starts on Friday. Like I said, like Cass said, I left as early as I could to get to Long Island for like a board and staff meeting. I do some work for the HPS network. So I went to this meeting, and I feel bad that I was late, and I'll plan better next time if anyone's listening. But it's kind of a long travel from Manhattan to Long Island. But I was doing that a good portion of the day because registration doesn't open until that afternoon. But Friday's always a good time, seeing everybody come into the hotel, getting to see all from the familiar faces. It's a pretty chill time. There was a really good session on Friday that we went to about bleeding that Donna, who is the founder of our network, she ran that session. And I always feel like I learn more, I feel like we think
something.
We know everything, and we're always learning. And it was good to focus on the bleeding. I feel like HPS has some other more demanding issues sometimes, so you just don't maybe talk about the bleeding as much. But that was a really good session, and it was kind of like a chill group. It was a smaller room, and you were there, and I was there, and it was good.
Yeah, it was really great. When we did the virtual conference a few years ago, that was one of the sessions that that Donna did. But like,
you're right.
I found that a lot, especially a lot of new parents, they're like, what do I do if my kid has like an issue with bleeding? And like that session, I thought at the virtual conference was probably one of my favorites, because again, I always learn something too.
Yes.
And I mean, Donna's really smart. She was a nurse, and so she knows also a lot about this. And like, it was it was just really helpful and cool. And I'm so glad that hopefully it sets a precedent, because I think it's just useful information for anybody to have, patients or parents or anything else. So it was, and it was really well done, and it was really organized, and people would also share any tips they had. So,
yeah. And I think something that made it even more special was, in the middle of each table we were at, there was like stuff you could take home for bleeding, different, like different bandages and Coban and all like the different wrappings. Yeah. So that was fun.
That was really, I didn't even know there was something called like Vaseline gauzes. I feel like we should do a bleeding episode.
At one point. How have we not?
I'm honestly really surprised that we haven't.
Oh my gosh. We're on episode 91 and we've never done a bleeding ep.
Right? Like, wow. No. Okay. So that's on the backlog. But but I even learned like Vaseline makes gauze pads. That are
I had no idea.
That's really awesome. I'm super excited to try it out next time I have to.
Yeah, and I like the day after I got home from this trip, I bumped my head pretty hard, and I could just hear Donna's voice of like, if you have a head injury, I was like, And in that same room,
ice compression elevation.
Yes. There you go. We need to save that for the bleed.
I know.
Keep it in your head. We got to save all this info for the bleeding episode. But another funny thing from that room, though.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go on.
No, I was going to transition.
I didn't want to move on before quickly mentioning that we did this minute to win it game. Oh, that was so where each table had, like, you had a category. It was almost just like a category game. Like, you had a category of, like, fruits. And you had to write down as many as you could within a minute. And guess which categories Cassandra and I won? what was yours? Baked goods?
Baked goods. Types of baked goods.
Types of baked goods. And mine was dog breeds. So I think, and I was serious. I was really, really focused. I was like, I can't. And there were like a lot of people in that room. And we were proud of ourselves.
And like, there was another one that was, like, kitchen tools or, you know. Uh-huh. So I didn't win that one because someone else really got it. But I think baked goods is a little easier. If you know anything about baking, then you probably had a better shot of doing better. Because some people were like, I don't know much beyond cake, pie, cookie, you know.
That's all I put.
Which is completely fine.
I was going off.
There was someone at your table, not to shame them at all, but they were like, is a doodle a breed? And you were like, no!
I yelled.
For the record, a doodle is not a breed. A poodle is a breed. A doodle is a hybrid.
And a golden retriever is a breed.
Right.
Anyway, nothing against doodles. They're great, but it's cute. Just, you know, if we can't cheat, you know, I'm serious about my rules.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, okay, so Friday night, there's usually, you know, there's a dinner where everyone kind of starts to get seeing each other and take pictures and say hi and give people hugs. It's always the same dinner, and Casey wants that to be the case. Forever. She was like, if it isn't the pasta, I'm going to be really upset.
I love that I can come to this conference. It's the same hotel. It's the same food. It's the same people. It's the same thing. And it never has changed in like 15 years that I've been coming. Almost 15. And it feels great. I love that. I love the same pasta every Friday night.
Right. And we go to conferences that do move around and change quite a bit. Like the NOAA conference that we'll be going to later this year. But like, this one is just, there's something really comforting about knowing almost always what to expect.
Yeah. And it's fun to change around and to explore different cities. But I'm a creature of habit. And
it's true. And it was funny. On Saturday, I was at a table where like a group of people were talking about truly how little things changed by talking about how things had changed. And they were like, man, do you guys remember the guy who used to ladle soup? It was always the same hotel employee, and the fact that, like, that wasn't a thing anymore was kind of unfortunate, because it was just so regular, and then it changed, and then it's like, we're really, like, talking about the soup and the guy who ladled it. Like, it's really not.
Well, like, we know the staff, you know? Like, we know the staff and the soup ladle guy. That's great. Yeah, it rarely changes, for sure, and I love that.
The other really notable thing that happens on Friday night is the year in review, and, of course, like, it's always, like, at least an hour and a half. Was it 2 hours?
I would say so. Yeah, but I don't know actually how long it was, but it about an hour and a half.
Entertaining PowerPoint you've ever seen in your life.
It always is. It always is.
It always is. Well, I think just Donna has such a way. Like, she's very, very candid, and it makes it just really engaging and not at all boring, even though you might be hearing about something that you don't know anything about or might be slightly uninterested in. Everything feels interesting
when she's presenting. Yeah, and the whole thing, it's like sad, happy, funny, sad, happy, funny,
right.
Informative, happy. Like, it's just the way it's done. I mean, Cass and I have always talked about, this is kind of a weird comparison, but I've always said Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is my favorite TV show, I've always said I love it because there will be like a really, really dramatic moment where someone is like dying, and then like they throw in a joke, and that's the only way that I personally can handle like dark shows is when they still throw in that humor. And that's something I do appreciate about Donna and just like the HPS conference in general is you really do walk with that mix, and we incorporate a lot of like just comedy and lighthearted fun, and that's really, really a cool balance, because I also think if it were all funny and lighthearted, that wouldn't make it as special. Like, I feel like the reason it's special is we all can be emotional together. And, like, that feels really... I think all the emotions are heightened the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, just... And I feel like we've become a little more desensitized to it because we've been coming for so long. But especially for newer people, like, the emotions are just all high. You're full of joy. You're full of all these different feelings. Overwhelm, you know, just so much going on. So the year in review is really fun.
Yeah, it's so cool. And also, like, because the org itself is not very big, you know, every time you see like the staff, they feel familiar and familial. And it's really, really cool. You're like, oh my gosh, that's so and so. And she's always helping at the conference. And it's just, it feels like a little bit of an extended family because you only see them like once a year. And you know, you catch up a little bit, and they like, I don't know, they give you like a bunch of hugs, and they're always like really excited about how you're doing. And it's just really nice.
Yeah, and we even at the year in review, the last 2 years in a row, our pod has gotten a little shout out slide, which is really sweet.
Yeah, which
we
really appreciate. And like the network also often shares the like reels that we post for each episode, which is just really sweet. And they don't have to do that, but we appreciate that they do. So it's just great. No, that's it. That's all I had to say.
Before we move on, I'm going to out Donna for my favorite part of the year in review, because after the year in review, we all go to this bar.
Oh my gosh. That was so funny.
We all go to this bar that used to be called Champions. You've probably
heard the
saga.
It was like more of a sports bar vibe. Now it's just a generic hotel bar.
Yeah. And so Donna has a very soft heart. Mm-hmm. And she is very sentimental, and a lot of times
she's
done this before.
She loves like Lifetime movies, and that's the kind of person she is. She loves tender things.
Yes, and she's done this thing before. I don't know, Cass, if you remember. I think it was at the virtual conference. She said, I want to leave you with a song. I'm going to dedicate it to you. And I think it was Ain't No Mountain High Enough. It was one of those songs. That, because we weren't together, and so and you know, she like dedicated, she loves music, and you know, music is a big part of the conference, And so, do you want to say what
happened? My gosh. So, yeah, she said exactly that. I have a song that I really want to dedicate to you. And we were all, like, completely expecting something serious and moving. And then immediately what follows is, like, let's all go to the bar.
It was just, I've never heard this song. But it was a song of a guy being like, let's like go to the bar. It could have been by the
Ramones. I'm really sorry if it isn't.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm showing our ignorance. But like, no, it just like, it felt like a, like one of those 90s Brit rock bands. And it was just fantastic.
Fantastic. Because
it was so unexpected, especially from her.
From her.
I mean, like, she is funny, though. Not to say that she's not.
Oh, no.
Like, she's very serious. She's really funny, very funny.
But, like, we were 100% expecting sentimental song. Like, I was
And the way that she presented it, she did such a good job. It was, she broke character once. Like,
so good. It was so good. Coming from her, I just so expected a sentimental song. So that was just so funny.
Oh, my gosh.
And we did go to the bar.
We did go to the bar. Everybody socializes. It was great. My brother and sister-in-law got to know some people, and they were just really enjoying it. I think that's pretty much it for Friday.
The weird thing about the bar at a medical conference is, like, on the one hand, you're chilling with your friends. You're talking to people. And then on the other hand, I'm like, oh, where's that doctor I'm looking for? I've got to ask him a question.
So he's like around drinking a beer. Like.
Yeah, he's literally, I'm serious. It's like 11 p.m. I find this doctor. I'm like, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? He like has a drink in his hand. We like go over and sit down in the bar together. And I'm like, hey, how do you feel about this? And it was hilarious because like we're at a bar having a conversation about my
at 11 like, p.m. And it's like, man, upcoming medical procedures. In my medical life.
Yeah, literally. I'm like, can I talk to you about this serious thing? And it's so normal, though, which is why it's so weird. The juxtaposition
is crazy, but we don't even feel it.
We don't. It's so normal. I'm like, where is this doctor? So it's weird.
I love it. But and then there's like people gossiping, people talking about their like health life. It's just, it's this whole mishmash of things.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people are talking shop. It's wild.
And then if Cass and I aren't together the whole time, we'll share the tea later. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. We always catch each other up. And also, we're seen. So, like, there, it's really cute. And I was noticing this more this year. So, within the conference space, there are, like, a handful. Usually, they're women. A handful of conference besties. And, and like, HPS besties, frankly. And so, like, there are some older ones that are both on the HPS board. There are some that are kind of also in their middle age. Like, it's just cute because they're always kind of together. But Case and I are also one of those, like, infamous bestie pairs. And so everyone always asks each other where the other one is. Like, yes, people ask always. Each other. I don't know how to say the sentence. Yes, that. They ask us where the other one is.
Where the other one is. Or they'll even, like, compliment you to me. People will come up and be like, isn't Cassandra great? She's so cute. And I'm like, yep.
Fantastic.
So I saw somebody, an old friend at the conference, and she said, how did she word it? She said, it was so funny. I did not know what she was talking about at first. She goes, I just saw your other half. And I literally was like, I didn't bring a significant other to the conference. Yeah. And then she... and then it hit me. And she meant you. So I was like, oh, her. Yep. That's it.
We but are your the other of half.
That's a new one for me to hear. Your other half. That's literally only ever used in like a spouse. In
romantic situations.
No, literally to the point where I genuinely did not know who she was talking about. I was like, who?
It's so funny.
Direct me to who you are mentioning. Oh, just Cassandra. Wow. Got it. No, so funny. But no, I, fantastic. Yeah, even, and we can even go to Saturday morning because I have something to say in this same vein of like on Saturday morning, we have this thing called the family album. Where we all get together in a big circle and share life updates. And even at that album, the guy, the man who always like gives us the microphone, even he was like, well, you'll go after just each go other, after right? Each like, other. Just, yeah, do it together.
And he usually, like, randomizes the order. It's not, like, in a circle directly, but...
Right.
But so, yeah, it was just really funny that... We just got to go right after each other. And that usually would only happen with some families. You know, my whole family kind of went consecutively. But it's always so good to be there. And the thing, we've talked about this before, but, like, the thing that we do is we say, like, something that happened this past year and something we're looking forward to in the coming year. And so it's just really cool to hear updates from people, even if it's just like at a super high level, just to know that they're there. And it really, like, no matter how big the conference has gotten, we always still do it. And it's not a huge conference, but, like, it is just, it feels very intimate, even though it's a pretty big group of people.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It is kind of the one time we can all talk together.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, in the middle of that, so we have the meeting of the minds going on, which we've talked about before on other conference episodes, but basically it's just this secret, it's not a secret, I mean, we talk about what happens later, but it is a closed door meeting where a lot of doctors and researchers at various levels of their careers and, like, all kinds of disciplines of medicine will have this really long meeting. It's like 7 hours where people are slotted as speakers within, like, no one can go. I'm just recounting what happens. But they always present unpublished research. So that's why it's really carefully guarded and heavily vetted. But so Case mentioned music is a big thing at the conference. We've talked about this in the past. There's a group of us, including us two, that sing, and Donna loves music and loves creating, like, funny parodies that relate to, like, Hermansky-Pudlak syndrome and studying and finding a cure and research and, like, people in their labs, like, doing so. So we did a parody this year for, we always sing it before the meeting of the minds, and then we were quickly ushered out so we don't hear any of the secrets. But not that I don't think we would understand them, but
no, right.
But we sung a parody of The Best by Tina Turner. It was great, honestly. It's always hard because it's in the morning, and so we are a little bit rusty.
Well, also voice. We barely rehearsed it together because we all barely don't live around each other. And our group was bigger than it's ever been before. We have 6 singers now in the group, and we have a saxophone player.
Which so was, like, really fun and random, and I kind of loved adding that in. It was a little bit of a surprise. And also, every time we sing for this quick group of people, we never have mics, so we just have to really project. But, like, the saxophonist wasn't introduced on purpose because when he started playing in the chorus, people were like, oh, a saxophone. Yeah,
he kind of popped out of the background, like, on purpose. He was hiding a little. But I think it was probably some of the best we've ever sounded just because we have so many of us now. Like, the group keeps growing. So.
It really adds, like, and, all, like, weight.
And it's a lot of fun, and we've talked about it before many times, that this is a way for us to not only thank the doctors, but to also kind of humanize ourselves, to remind them of what they're researching for, and remind them that we're not just people in a textbook. Like, we have talents and other interests and things like that. And so it's a nice way to humanize ourselves and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we do it. And we gave the backstory before, but it was super cool, and it went over well. And then we jumped back into the little family album that's happening in a different room.
And after the family album, we do breakout groups of, you know, like, adults with HPS and parents with kids with HPS and those things. And before we get into that, though, I don't want to forget, and this is on my mind right now, we have a friend of the network. She just has albinism. Her name is Liz. And works for a really cool org called Splashes of Hope, where they put murals in hospitals to make hospitals a more happy place. And they brought a mural for all of us to paint, like, paint by numbers, because our theme this year was strength in numbers. And it was just something you could go up throughout the day and paint your little, they give you a color and they tell you where to paint. And I thought that was just such a fun thing. And I helped kind of put that together with Liz pre-conference. I'm not going to take full credit for it or anything, but like, I just, like, I had fun kind of planning for that. And I had fun seeing it actually come to fruition and that's actually so get to cool. do it.
The mural really is going to get hung up in a local hospital, so it'll be, it'll give joy to people who go there, which is just so special because that's their whole mission, and medical places shouldn't feel so sterile. And they have a little, like, tagline that was super cute that Liz said. But also, we'll talk about this maybe more, but I want to promote Liz separately just because I don't want to jump ahead too much, but she did a talk that she's done before in other capacities, even for like NOAA, the National Organization for Albinism, and she's a really, really talented artist. So like, she did this project of kind of visually representing through painting how people with albinism tend to see. Obviously there's a big spectrum there. But I think Liz sees kind of like the two of us.
Yeah.
There's a shareable link of her presentation, right?
Yeah, it's on, one of them is on the NOAA website, and then the one she did this year was also recorded. I can put that in the show notes
too. Highly recommend you guys check that out, because it, when I saw it for the first time, and she added a little bit more to it at the HPS conference, it was so well done, and I felt so seen by the way that she like did a still life of just a bunch of random objects that she told someone else to grab so she didn't know it was on the table. And she had her easel really far back. And you see, like, it's, I think it kind of helps me also be able to describe my vision more, and also, like, in a visual way so they can see her work. But also, like, usually when you see representations of vision, which is why she did this, it's always just like low vision is just more blurry, and it doesn't feel blurry to us.
Yeah.
And so I think the way that it was done is really cool. And to me, it feels almost like our vision is just like de-abstracted. So we just see the general idea of things. It's almost like, I feel like I was thinking of it recently. It's almost as if like our vision is like a PS2 game, like something that is kind of poorly rendered, but you can tell what it is. It just lacks a lot of like realistic detail.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so cool to see her do that, and I really, really wanted to plug that before we got too deep into the episode, if people didn't get like further than this, just because it's absolutely worth watching.
No, yeah, I agree. I love it so much. I agree.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, the adult breakout group, I really enjoyed this year. I thought it was really good, and I thought it also really kind of had that mix of serious and uplifting, which is a nice mix to have. We kind of talked about different ways to cope and different things we use in our life to, like, I don't know, we were talking about like managing stress and things like that, and it's always interesting to hear what other people do. I was really
happy the conversation took a turn to like talk about mental health too, because I think it's so important. And you know, Casey and I have both been in and out of therapy throughout our lives, but having chronic health conditions can just really weigh on you. And so talking about that with, you know, with your family and friends, of course, but with also like a dedicated therapist is really important. And I'm glad that you know, the moderator of this session is also like a therapist and a psychologist, and so she was really also encouraging people to continue to look after their mental health, because it is, you know, it bodes well for your physical health if you're mentally healthy.
Absolutely. And it's really, yeah, it is really great to just talk to people who get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely is. After that, we have lunch, and then there's some afternoon, more like patient-focused sessions. Some of them are more informative, so like there's always an HPS 101 for people that are newer. But then there are some more like support groupy type sessions. like people with GI disease who just kind of talk about what they've been going through lately. Mm-hmm. But Case and I got to do a session.
We did.
These are always really fun because they're like the pod live.
Yes, but I do feel like it's the pod live. We did a session on daily living, life skills, and different low vision and chronic illness hacks kind of for life. Mm-hmm. And we did different categories. And honestly, it felt like a combination of multiple past episodes we've done of this podcast. We touched on a lot of topics we've already touched on this pod, but we really do, like, when we're doing a session live together, it just feels so natural because we've been doing this pod for almost 4 years.
Wow.
It just feels so natural to talk with you. If it were anyone else, yeah, it would be harder, but we just, like, the way we play off of each other feels so normal, which is really fun. And we had a good little audience there, like, you know.
It was really a full room. And people, like, really engaged with us, too, afterwards.
They did.
So, like, we had a little QR code where we listed some of the things, like, products or services that we had talked about with links so people could follow up if they had more questions. Mm-hmm. But, like, after the session, Case was like, man, I feel like we are just so used to communicating together where, like, yeah, if one of us stops talking, we kind of know that the other one is just going to pick it right up.
Yeah.
And we don't even have to really think about it. It's like breathing.
No, if I had done it with anyone else, like, it would have gone fine, I'm sure. Yeah. But it's so easy to talk to a crowd with you. Like, it, right. Don't you agree? Like, it just feels.
It's just because we have so much practice doing it despite the lag of FaceTime.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have to put any work into it. This is normal. I bet someone could give us any topic and say, Case and Cass, go talk about this topic together. And we'd just be like, yeah, got it.
Yeah, okay, we could do that.
We could do that. And yeah. And so that was really fun.
It was really cool. And I'm glad people asked questions, including my family, which was really
fun. Yeah, your brother had some good questions. And your dad both had some good questions. Or your whole family, right, probably.
I know, right? It was really cool, and I was really happy that they all came and sat in, like, the front row. It was really sweet.
Yes.
After that, Case and I talked to the kids. it was just really funny. It wasn't supposed to be anything, like, super deep or super serious, just because, honestly, mostly we were doing it so that the adults who were watching the kids could have a little bit of a mental break.
Yeah. It was one of those things where, like, some of the kids seemed really engaged. A lot of the kids were off playing and not listening to what we had to say at all. But I do hope what some of the things we said at least stuck with some of the kids or maybe kind of touched some of the kids. I think maybe. And we were trying to do a lot of kind of interactive questions for them. This was kind of elementary age kids. So, you know, they're hyper and, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, like, I also was told later that they definitely had cotton candy earlier in the day. So, I don't think I would have been able to focus after that either.
Yeah. But we had fun talking to them. The session was kind of, it was kind of about confidence and feeling different and how to embrace your uniqueness. And I think I like talking about that with you. I think that's, like, one of the themes of this pod. And we kind of started off the pod talking about that early on and how to, like, just embrace who we are. And we've grown up to embrace who we are. And I think part of the reason of that is seeing people who are older than us. And then the kids are looking at us as examples. And we can be an example to them. Like, hey, we're adults and we're just like you and we're okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for them to see. And I, like I said, I had a mentor when I was young who was like 20 years older than me probably that I met when I was 5. And she had a huge impact on my life because I knew we were the same even back then. I knew this lady is like me and she's really cool and she's an adult and she's fine. And I think that's important for them to see. So,
yeah, I agree. I think some of the uniqueness of this topic too is that even when we're talking about it, some of the situations that we talked about with the kids, we try to gear it a little bit more toward the kids. Like, have you ever, you know, played a game on the playground and you couldn't find your friends? And so sometimes they don't always have solutions. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's more just important for them to know that there are older people who are also going through the same stuff. Like someone waves at you and you didn't know. And sometimes, like, we would try to encourage them to tell people if someone told them, like, oh, I waved at you and you didn't say hi. And, you know, to start feeling more comfortable self-advocating, because that's something that, you know, we grew up also hearing and learning. And it definitely helped us and improved our lives, made us more confident advocates now as adults, and obviously with like ebbs and flows, but something that's really important to start doing when you're younger. It's like learning a second language. Like the earlier you do it, the more natural it is. So if you start doing it now, it won't feel as much of a stretch when you're older, even though sometimes it always feels a little bit strange.
Yeah, but it was fun to talk to the kids. After that, I think I just like went to relax before dinner, but you did the painting session, didn't you?
I did. So our friend Liz that we were talking about did a little paint party where we painted canvas totes, and it was so fun. I got to do it with some of my family.
I know. I don't think I ever got to see your finished product.
Oh, I gotta show it to you. It's really cute. We got to pick, like, so the theme was strength in numbers, and so the tote has a number on it. It's 24 for the year. I didn't know why it said 24.
I didn't either at first, so it's okay. Until Liz told me.
Fantastic. Yeah. They turned out really cute, and it was really fun because my family, all of ours looked very different. Even though they all, I would say they all said 24, but my dad wanted to be funny and he made it say 42, but.
That's hilarious.
But it was really fun. And then after that, we got ready and prepped for the big dance and dinner.
The big dinner and dance. I had a mom of a young child with HPS. She's not that young, but a child with HPS. I had a mom describe it to me as, it was so fun. It was like a wedding without all the bad parts of a wedding. I thought,
that's perfect.
That's the perfect way to describe it. Because it's like, it does feel like a fancy dinner, but without the wedding. Yeah.
You have like nice hotel food, and you get to watch some entertainment. And you get to dance. And that's all it needs to be. It's perfect. Yeah.
And it's like a multi-course meal. And in for some people, Kristen on the HPS staff says this a lot, you know, it's important because for some people, this might be the only time of year they get to really dress up. And that's fun. Mm-hmm. Like, for, you know, people look forward to that. I look forward to it.
I love dressing up.
To get to dress up. And so, yeah, it's a really fun time. And the ladies, our group, well, I say the ladies, there's the man that plays the sax, but we all sang again twice. We did
double
the best
feature.
Again as a, we did a little reprise of the best from the Meeting of the Minds. And then we also did the song Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now, but with HPS lyrics.
Right.
And it's always really fun to get to sing at the dinner because it just feels more fancy.
It does. It really feels like live entertainment, right? And it was great to sing together. I was thinking, I wanted to say that usually no one gets to hear the Meeting of the Minds song that we do, since it's like such a secret meeting. Only the people in that room who are like healthcare people get to hear it, but no one else at the actual conference. I'm really glad we did it again. Also throughout, there are maybe some other performances. There were a couple of sisters, one has HPS and one doesn't, and they did this dance and it was so cute. It was so cute. My mom was crying.
It was so cute. I totally thought when you said sisters, where one has HPS and one doesn't, I thought you meant the dinosaur dance.
Oh my gosh.
There was also another dance with dinosaur. It involved dinosaur costumes. It was
they're horrible. So like they're both really good. The different set of sisters. They're a little older. They were like teens.
Yeah.
So they're both really talented dancers. The older of the two is on like her school's competitive dance team and she's like really good. And they did this choreographed dance in those like inflatable suits. Mm-hmm. I was so impressed. I can't dance without an inflatable suit.
Yes. Yeah, me too. It was so funny. And like the whole idea behind that was like our whole theme is like stronger or strength in numbers. So like dinosaurs are the strongest animal, or they were, you know. So that was great. And then my favorite part, which was a little funny, was so our founder's daughter, Ashley, wanted to kind of like dedicate a song to everybody at the dinner. And she played the song. Yeah, she played the song For Good from Wicked. She didn't sing it. She is a singer. But she just played it on the loudspeaker. And it was so, it actually was like a special moment though, because my mom was like candidly filming and I didn't know she was filming us. But like a few of us, including Cassandra and myself and a few others.
And I think our friend Liz, really.
Yeah. Well, and Kristen.
Oh, and Kristen.
We were like really dramatically like lip syncing it to each other. And it was like super goofy, but also like I love them so, like I do love them so much. And I do love like them so actually, much. You know, I do actually like feel
like we meant that, but we were being funny about it.
Yes. Yes. We mean. And so that was like a special moment because it was kind of random. Like when I say random, I guess what I mean is unexpected. Like I wasn't expecting that, but I thought it was so great.
Yeah.
I loved that. It was just like a really genuine moment we got to have with each other. And I loved it.
It was really special. And obviously it came from Wicked. So
of course. And I love Wicked. I'm seeing it next weekend.
I can't wait. Oh my gosh. I can't wait to hear about how it was for the billionth time.
Excited.
There are also like skits that happen that are really just goofy. And just it's the founder's son who does not have HPS. And some of his friends usually get roped into it. My favorite one that they do, and it's kind of a running gag, but like... but like this it's always a little bit different so our disease is Hermansky-Pudlak syndrome because those were the people who discovered it, right? And so people like the founder's son and some of his buds will dress up in like lab coats and wigs and they're like Dr. Hermansky and Dr. Pudlak. And then
yes,
this year it was really funny because they had a third guy who, because it's hyphenated, so, like, the third guy just had a lab coat on, a sign that said dash.
Yeah.
I just think that those are so goofy and awesome.
He was the dash, yeah. We always have really goofy, fun entertainment. And then we got to dance the night away.
So fun. I gotta say, like, on the pod, I was really, like, I definitely expected you to go to your room sooner. And because like Case usually taps out like once dessert is served, maybe like dances a little bit more because she's like tired and she's also more of a morning person than I am.
I wouldn't say I'm a morning person. Ooh, no.
More of a morning person. Hence the wording there. But like she like also like taps out earlier and just kind of hangs out as she like winds down. And so like usually I'm out much later these nights than she is, and like girl, you stayed like the entire time.
I did last year too. I don't know, I'm on a streak. True. I'm on, yeah, because last year we shut down the whole dance floor. They were pulling up the floor. Yeah No, I really enjoy a fun, I'm not a club person at all, but I love a dance floor at like
like a wedding. An
event. Yeah, like a wedding or an event like this. I love a dance floor. It's like one of my favorite things, actually, to like just like belt out songs on the dance floor.
It was
floor.
So fun. Yeah, Case was actually really disappointed with the DJ. It was so funny. It was cracking me up. Like,
I mean, nothing against him. I don't know this guy. Like, nothing against the DJ himself. But it's been the last few years. When I first came to the HPS conference, It was more like modern hits, like radio hits, which are, mm-hmm. is it good music? No, not necessarily, but it's like you can sing to it, you know it.
Yeah,
like,
you know the words.
Like the first year I came, it was like Kesha and Miley and like, you know, mm-hmm. Taylor and yeah, and at the last few years, it's been a lot of 70s, 80s, which I love 70s, 80s music,
right.
arguably probably even more than modern stuff. But for a dance floor, it's not as, like, singable to me because I'm like, I love Michael Jackson. Like, don't get me wrong. There were a few bops they played, mm-hmm. but some of it was not dance floor music, and that's my
beef. No, I know.
Beef.
Well, and I'm with you because I feel like the dance floor was kind of empty, probably yeah. because people didn't recognize a lot of the music.
I know.
Since our population is a big part of them are Puerto Rican, there's a good amount of, like, salsa and merengue, and that's always really fun, and that gets a lot yeah. of people up.
That and that's and fun. And I love dancing with you to that because, like, there's, like, certain moves that I've picked up over the years, you know? Like, the way to dance salsa, I'm not a great dancer, but you know what I mean?
I'm not either.
And those songs are so fun because it gets everybody up. But then the minute they try to switch, that's when we run into problems. And I like line dancing.
Her facial expression when a song would play that she didn't, like, really, really know, she was just like,
I was so disgusted. Because I feel so passionately about how much I love dance floors. And I'm so angry.
No, and they're so fun. And eventually, it took a while, but eventually they played some like classic line dances.
Oh, I love the line dances.
I love the line dances. That's fun.
Love a line dance. And yeah, I know. And it was fun. There were a few good songs, not to be a hater. And we did request.
They didn't even play the Cotton Eye Joe.
I know. I'm kind of mad about that too. I love Cotton Eye Joe.
I can't dance it anymore because my knees can't take it. But I'm just really disappointed that they didn't even play it.
Like, same, but they did play Cruel Summer because we requested it.
Yeah, which was great.
Weirdly, they started on like the second verse, but I'll take what I can get.
I know, it was so bizarre, but strange. It was fun. It was fun.
It was good. It was good.
But yeah, always a great time. I think a lot of people tapped out earlier than in years
yeah.
past even, because a lot of people will like float to the bar, but there wasn't a whole lot of that this year, and I was honestly super tired anyway, so
yeah.
we just, like, headed up and yeah. headed to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yep, same. And then on Sunday.
Science Sunday. Yeah.
Science Sunday. The last few years, I've appreciated Science Sunday a little more than I did when I was younger.
Same. And it might be age, it might be tolerance, because we've sat through more of these presentations.
Yeah.
But, like,
so, I still learn new things all the time.
Oh, right. I know. So Science Sunday, it's a really unique part of this conference. We have a variety of doctors and people involved in medical research, again, across a bunch of different disciplines. Some of them talked in the aforementioned meeting of the minds, but, you know, no one else was there. But they have, some people have presentations that are specifically geared for the attendees to listen to. And that's what we do all day. That is the entire programming. We get to hear, like, kind of the state of HPS. We get to hear about, you know, new evolving knowledge in the bleeding disorder and in dermatology and in gene therapy. It's really, and some of it is kind of over our heads, even though even if it's meant for us to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really, really cool that we get to be part of that. And as people who hopefully can benefit from it, it feels like we're active participants.
Yeah.
We get to know what's going on.
I agree. I found the gene therapy to be really interesting. And I also, my favorite portion is probably like they do an update from the meeting of the minds that they had the day mm-hmm. prior. So they really are in real time are bringing you like exactly what they discussed behind those closed doors of that secret meeting. They're like telling us basically just an overview of like the most important moments from that meeting, and we get to like catch up with the HPS mice, you know, Coco, yes. my boy. No, man. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. Coco.
I know, right? Like the different subtypes have like of mice have names. And so the type 3 mouse, the KCS type 3, is called the Coco mouse.
Yours is pale ear.
Mine is the pale ear mouse.
I wish we were Pearl.
I know.
I love Pearl because like it reminds 2. Me of Steven. Yeah.
It's really cool. And again, we always learn something. So like sitting through this research. Okay. I had a thought today while I was on the elliptical and I told Casey I was going to save it for the pod because it was really timely. So like sitting through this research and kind of the conference as a whole, it's sometimes it's like, I don't know, it's a lot to take in at once, but I had kind of a cheesy, sappy thought a little bit, because a lot of times when I am on the elliptical, like, I listen to a variety of music that has, like, a solid beat. Sometimes they're in playlists with themes, so today I was listening to, like, my Paramore-themed treadmill, elliptical playlist. Anyway, a song that sometimes I skip just because, depending on how much of a workout I really want, I wanted something, I might want something faster. But I didn't skip it, and it really hit me. So the song is Now, and, like, it's about mental illness, really, but I think it really applies. And, like, I was kind of not paying attention. I was really tired today, so I was just, whatever. And then, like, I heard, like, the pre-chorus and the chorus, and I was like, ah, shoot, this feels so right for the HPS network.
You said Now?
Now.
Okay, uh-huh.
Lost the battle, win the war, bringing my sinking ship back to the shore, starting over or head back in. There's a time and a place to die. But this ain't it. And then there's a future, we want it now. And, like, it made me, like, kind of emotional. It got me to dig deeper because I was really over my workout today. So,
that's good.
Ugh. It's so good. And like, that's kind of what listening to these presentations makes me feel. Like, we're really trying to do what we can, and it moves so slow. And there are things that may or may not go to the FDA, and sometimes they get stalled out, and they just, like, you know, not cures, but maybe better treatments. And it's just kind of, it can take the wind out of your sail, but, like, what we're really trying to do is we're really working for that future and reminding ourselves, you know, we always say this, like, when it comes to research, maybe it's not for us, but maybe it's for someone else's future.
Yeah. I was talking to someone who says they have a picture of some of the HPS kids on their desk because it reminds them of why we do it. And I love that lyric. That's really great. I hadn't really thought of Now in that context before. Of course, I know it because I'm a Paramore stan. But I hadn't really thought of it in that context. I think that's great. And just like, if we're sharing deeper thoughts from the con in general, I feel like I had this thought when I got home. So I've been going through a lot of, like, health testing recently and just health stuff recently, and that's been taking up a lot of my time. And I feel like when I went to the conference, I felt, you know, you feel really seen. Like, if you're going through something like that, you're like, wow, this is a place where everyone gets it and I don't have to, you know, be faking anything, and people understand. Right. And I was telling Cass yesterday, though, I was like, it's weird because when you come back home, you know, it's kind of hard to come back to the real world because you miss your HPS family. But I kind of had to, like, shake myself and be like, my name's Casey. I like to read and I like to paint and I love my church and I love my friends and I have a life outside of illness. Because when you are kind of living in a worse stage of your illness journey, or like a flare up situation, and then you go to a conference that's all about illness, I came home and I was like, this is not my personality. This is not my whole life. I have so much more to me. And I even had to, like, remind myself of that, because it's great to be in a place where everyone gets it, but you also have to be like not in that. You can't stay in that place forever. Mm-hmm. You can't stay like the sick person. Like, you have to like, I've really this week have been trying to think and focus on my other interests and the other mm-hmm. things I like, because sometimes you can just get in that mindset too much, and I've got to not, you know, stay there. So.
Right. No, I completely agree. And it's nothing that is wrong with the conference. It's just the nature of being around ton of people who are also sick like you. And when we were having that conversation, I was thinking, like, you have to kind of just, like, for a minute, in order to counteract all of what you were just doing, you kind of have to, like, de-identify with it a little bit, just so that you can remember that, like, it's not your entire identity mm-mm. is being a sick person. And it's just like a side effect, because like you're with all these people that you adore and that who love you. And obviously like that, we wouldn't trade that for the world at all. It's just like part of what that entails is like also just feeling like the reason I know these people is because I'm a sick person. And the reason that everybody is here is because they're sick people. And so you just need a minute to ground yourself. And I'm also like really, really happy that a lot of like your health stuff that has been honestly going on for like 6 months is feeling more like it's turning a corner. I'm so glad. Especially after the conference, it doesn't like feel worse.
Right. Yeah, we're hoping for a brighter future. You know, most things, I mean, chronic health, the word chronic is there because it means it never goes away. But most things do ebb and flow. And most, you know, what I tell myself with anything in life, but especially with health stuff, is that nothing lasts forever. And you'll go through different seasons with your health. And the good and the bad don't last forever. And something else, like, that I was thinking of when we were at the conference, that I think I even said this in the adult, like, breakout session, is, like, we are talking about some of the people we've lost, because that's just the nature of it sometimes. And I was like, I think about this all the time. It's like, this disease takes people from us sometimes, but it's also the only reason we know each other at all. And it's weird to think the very thing that might take each other from us is also the only reason we even know each other in the first place. And when I say each other, I don't mean you specifically. Like, you're there, but like
but like, we would never have met otherwise.
We would never have met at all. So like,
our paths would never have crossed.
It's just weird. It's that's really trippy when I think of it like that.
I know.
And it makes me grateful for the people who we have met and each other.
Yeah, it was also really cool. I agree. I'm not trying to blow past that.
No, you're not.
Had to give it a minute. But I think maybe one of the last things that I wanted to say. Oh my gosh, Romana's dreaming. It's really cute.
Okay.
is that it was really cool to see my brother and sister-in-law experience this. Mm. Carlos, my brother, has been to a conference before, but it's been like years, maybe 8 years. And my sister-in-law, Mikkel, had never been. And so I was wondering, like, how it would be for them. Carlos is definitely more wired to understand medical things. Mm-hmm. So I also just, like, really wanted him to hear the science on Sunday. Just because I feel like he would get more out of it maybe than I would. But it was just, it was really cool. It's hard. It's a really hard, like, we can describe it, but being there, it's very otherworldly. It's just hard to completely encapsulate what this conference is like.
Absolutely.
We've been to a lot of conferences, Casey and I, and there was really nothing that comes close to what this place feels like, just because it does feel very, like, intimate in a way.
Yeah.
But also, like, fun and kooky and bizarre, just like seeing family would be, with this like sprinkling of medical, and that's kind of the whole, like, this is the overtone. But you know, I wondered, like, specifically about Mikkel, because she'd never been, like, is she even gonna like it? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't, because it's a lot to take in, especially the first time. Like, there's just so much information. But she loved it. Like, I was really
happy. I was happy to see it too.
She was like living for the year in review. She just found Donna so charming, which she is. It was just, it was a blast, and it reminded me of like the first conference experience.
Yeah, you could see it through their eyes of what it felt like for the first time.
Yeah. And it is really so special, even though it is, like, overwhelming.
Yeah. And I think, like, you can't enjoy, I don't know, it's hard to enjoy life without realizing, like, how fleeting life is. And I think, like, this conference is special for that reason. It is more serious. It is more urgent. There is an urgency there. But that makes it so precious. Because we've seen each other fight, like, we're warriors, all of us. Like, we've seen each other, all of us, go through so many different things, and we haven't really been able to, like, physically be there for each other all the time because we all live apart. But when we get together, it's like, I've seen your struggles and I've seen you overcome, and it just makes everything feel way more. Time at the conference is so precious, and like Donna, her emotion, you know, she cries at a lot of the songs and stuff, and it's just meaningful. And like, that brings me to, I forgot to say it, at the closing ceremony, there's a song called At the Beginning from Anastasia, but it's not in the film Anastasia, it's just like the credits song.
In the end credits.
But I've always loved that song because that's like been my favorite movie since I was 5. My favorite movie has not changed since I was 5. And Cass and I were asked to do it like last minute. So a few of our other a few of our other group members had sang it in like 2013 together, and I wasn't at that conference, neither were you. So that's why they were kind of pulling it out of, you know, like from
the repertoire.
Scraping the dust off of it and pulling it back out. And they asked us like the night before, like, would y'all want to join us? And I already knew the song, and you're a quick study, and you knew of the song, maybe like not as well as I did, but you picked it up immediately. And then we got to all sing that. And it's kind of a cheesy song, but I, like, the first lyric is, we were strangers starting out on a journey, never dreaming what we'd have to go through. And I'm like, that's so HPS, man.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. So true. And it's like,
this journey is really what brought us together, which is what we were just saying. And I think, like, it went really well, especially since, like, one, we were asked last minute, and two, I had been losing my voice on and off for, like, 2 weeks. And had truly, like, since I was at CSUN, because I always lose my voice at these conferences from, like, yelling to talk to people. So, like, I really wasn't sure. I was kind of losing my voice on Saturday night while we were singing.
Yeah.
And so my voice was kind of rough. And when I heard the video back, and Case was also losing her voice, and she usually loses it also. Yep. And so I heard the video back, and I was honestly really impressed with how it sounded.
Yeah, we somehow, I think in the rehearsal, our voices had to get warm. And then once we actually were doing it, it worked out, and it sounded good.
Great. I was really proud of us.
It did sound good. We had a good little harm going. I mean, we were on melody, but, you know, they did. No, it was good. And then we made Donna cry, which was special.
It's always the fun. Goal. No, I'm just totally joking. Oh, no.
But that was a fun way to end. And then one of our members also always makes a slideshow, and that was fun to watch. And we just got to kind of hang out before heading out. I went to bed pretty early that night because by the end, it's just, you know, you're dying.
It's so much.
You're dying. And
especially Saturday. Saturday is such a crazy day.
Yes.
And because we're like pretty actively involved. I mean, Casey does some work for them, but we just like get, it isn't the conference if you're not kind of voluntold or like asked at the last minute to do something else. Like, hey, can you like do this thing really fast? And like, okay, sure. Because that's what we're here for. But like man, Saturday, like, we barely have a minute to breathe. Mm-hmm. So
truly, it just, truly,
we had to, like, decompress a little
bit. I had a few people text me, and I was like, literally, I did not have a moment to respond. Not a singular moment to respond
to. I barely had time to look at my phone all day.
No, no. Which is kind of fun. It's a different experience than regular life. So,
And because it's so, like, it's a pretty quick conference because I've been to ones that are, like, a week long. And it's extra special because we really pack it in, so.
Yeah. And it was, Can't wait for next year. I thought it was a great, great time. So glad to be back with everybody. Fun to meet new families. And we had like 30-something new families this year, which is so amazing. I mean.
And there were families that were there that we had either met maybe like, maybe that were brand new or that we'd met once or even one that finally got to come after meeting them on like the virtual conference a few years ago. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was just so great to meet people in person.
It was so good to see everybody. So had a great time. I already miss it. I'm already looking forward to next year. Yeah, already looking forward to it.
Also, we've got kind of a special episode for the pod next week, so definitely tune in for that.
Mm-hmm.
Have a special announcement.
Yes. Yes. Oh, we're excited to hear it. I know,
so if you made it this far, you know.
Yeah,
but
Thank
you guys.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.